My Fix It Up Life.
With tackling a tough homeowner question, renovate an old house, or build from the ground up.
From sustainability to style, we sort it out. We check down renovating old houses for everything from accessibility to aging in place. With This Old House and Ask This Old House host, Kevin O'Connor.
And we break ground for building new with style expert Kelly Moore, who's starting the adventure of building a new home in Napa.
Old, new, and now on My Fix It Up Life. It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by seeing red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar is a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar is a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
What a perfect day to play left right there. Hit the kettle and I'm feeling fine, sitting in your sidewalk chair. As the daylight fades on the park we swear, then I'll swear, written out square.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark. And I am excited about today's show. We're talking new houses. We're talking old houses.
We're talking new construction. We're talking fixing old problems. We're talking about whatever it is to make the decision for your family about whether you should build new or fix what you got.
And we're also talking to some really fun guests. We're talking with the host of This Old House, Kevin O'Connor.
And Ask This Old House about their Essex project and all the things they've done in that to make that old house new.
And we're also going to be talking to Kevin about his old house as well. And we're talking with Kelly Moore. And Kelly Moore is a lifestyle expert, and you've probably seen her on Steve Harvey or the Nate Berkus Show, and she is thinking about building a new house in Napa Valley.
Oh, only Napa Valley? Too bad I don't want to have any wine at that place or sit down and have... They always eat outside there.
Yes, they do.
Or it seems like they do from various TV shows I've seen, and I want to go there.
Well, that's pretty good. I think maybe we can ask her if we can take a little trip out there. She might want us to help build her new house, though, as sort of a favor for the flavor.
A favor for the flavor. You have made up a new one. I like it.
Thank you, darling. And new houses and old houses, it's such a big issue. And with the market sort of turning around these days, and people are able, you're able to sell your house again. And I was reading in Money Magazine that, you know, we're at the beginning of the curve of being able to sell our houses and actually have competition again for house sales. And that, you know, single family houses are really what's going to be taking off right now, but it's really not going to be back to where it used to be for like another 3 years.
Right, and I'm also hearing, too, that Fannie and Freddie Mac, the big government-backed loan corporations, are seeing profitability again, and they're getting what they're calling their toxic assets off their books. So what that means is the inventory of houses that can't be sold or couldn't be sold in the past are moving through, and anecdotally, I see new ground being broken. When I take Jack to school, there's new townhouses going in, 30,000-pound excavator.
Well, that's exciting for a whole nother thing, for that whole masculine father-son bonding, seeing excavators and everything.
We also talk about macroeconomics.
You and Jack do?
Yeah. Hey, that's a track loader. Hey, that supports the GDP. Hey, that supports us taking a break.
Really?
We'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life.
What a perfect night to dine with the stars in left alone on the park, looking sharp, walking with your blue dress on. The door was smashed, she said that she was the bomb. Spend our summer holding on.
Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org. If your home's exterior is missing something, that punch of color to move it from drab to fab, then you need the DaVinci Roofscapes Shake It Up Exterior Color Contest.
Just visit DaVinci Roofscapes on Facebook and click on Shake It Up, then upload a picture of your home's exterior. Five finalists will be selected for the opportunity to win $5,000 to enhance their home's curb appeal. Finalist is chosen by the most votes.
So head to DaVinci Roofscapes on Facebook to enter today.
Replacing a roof is a major investment. When considering your options, make sure to investigate synthetic roofing slate and shake tiles from DaVinci Roofscapes. Cost-effective and made to last, DaVinci's weather-resistant roofing tiles have a 50-year warranty. A DaVinci roof provides long-term comfort and security, along with adding great beauty to the exterior. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles. For more information, visit DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624.
You are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark.
And my wife Teresa. And it is, Fix It Up Fine Time.
It is Fix It Up Fine Time. And I'm excited to talk to you about some finds that I don't think that you've found recently that I am so excited about.
I am waiting with, as my old friend used to say, fish on my tongue.
I don't
baited,
know.
Baited breath.
I don't want to know anything about that nonsense. But I'm talking trends here, and one of the trends that I am noticing everywhere these days, and I'm noticing it on bed frames, on prints, on stools, on fountains, on lighting, on door pulls even.
What haven't you mentioned?
It's pretty much everywhere. The quatrefoil.
I'm sorry?
The quatrefoil.
It's four foils?
Yes. And you know the quatrefoil because you went to Catholic school. You were brought up Catholicly.
Yes, I was brought up Catholicly.
You totally were.
I went to the Popely.
You went to the Popely. No, but you were brought up in a Christian environment, and you had to have seen the quatrefoil, because what it is basically sort of a symbolic-looking four-leaf clover-ish kind of cross-like object.
Okay.
Okay. And it's basically like four circles kind of put together and making...
I'm thinking kind of Celtic cross.
Kind of sort of like that.
Yeah.
And on Pinterest, I have been pinning a bunch of these quatrefoil designs on all of those things that I was talking about, like the bed frame and the drawer pulls and stuff like that.
Oh.
So you can check it out at Pinterest on our My Fix It Up Life page, on our trends page. It's kind of like a new trend, but it's so old school because it enjoyed its peak popularity. Do you know when?
I'm waiting for some very History Channel style date here.
During the Gothic and Renaissance eras. And, you know, it was mainly really extremely popular in, like, stained glass in the Gothic era. So,
I love that stuff.
So you probably have seen it a million times, and once you do see it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what that is. But the other thing that is totally popular right now, which I've been talking about for months, is the mustache.
A Phillies baseball player has recently grown a mustache to the chagrin of his fans, Cole Hamels.
So the mustache, I'm totally ignoring you, is so popular that you can buy clothes, not just like clothes for grown-ups, but babies, all kinds of different things. You can buy them on little sticks. Jack made one, our four-year-old at school, at preschool. He made a mustache on a stick that he brought home.
Okay.
You can get nail art. You can get earrings. You can get, you know, pacifier with a little mustache on it. You can buy duct tape brand duct tape with,
yes,
the mustache pattern on it. And I was out shopping with one of my girlfriends recently, and I told her that the mustache was so popular, and so she now sees it everywhere. And then I was watching the Kids' Choice Awards with Alexis, our 11-year-old.
Right.
And they had a whole gag about the mustache on that show, too, on Nickelodeon. Totally cool. But the mustache...
You are literally... You might have to stand up for the rest of this. Sitting down. You're so amped.
I want to tell you, though, about the World Beard and Mustache Championships that are going to be held later on this year in November in Germany. Now, the World Beard and Mustache Championships is a pretty serious event, especially when it comes down to the two bearding mega powers of the United States and Germany going head-to-head on November 2nd.
Beard to beard, if you will.
Yes. And what they do is it's a biennial competition where people with beards and mustaches display all of their stylized facial hair, and there's six categories for the mustaches in the competition.
I can corroborate your trend with the mustache because I just watched the trailer for the new Superman movie, Man of Steel.
Does he have a mustache?
Dude, okay, first of all, Man of Steel has been clean-shaven since the get-go. Man of Steel now, full-on German beard.
No, U.S., because the two bearding superpowers...
You
have to go U.S. when it comes down to Germany, you know, because we're going head-to-head in November.
That's right. My point is... Full beard, first time.
Well, I'm excited, Tara, because there's a National Beard and Mustache Championship in New Orleans in September. And if you are so curious about this whole kind of thing, which I had no idea anything about until recently, you can go to beardteamusa.org to find out about our national team. And there's a guy, Phil Olson. You can follow him at Tahoe Phil on Twitter to find out all of the ins and outs of all of the international and national events with mustaches.
Fantastic.
Are you going there right now, Mark?
I'm going to join the team because people who know me know about my naturally thick facial hair.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Pencil thin mustache.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of like you grow a mustache sort of like one of those villains do. Like you
don't, that's right,
you don't
yeah.
grow a friendly mustache. You grow a sinister kind of facial hair.
That's all I have. That's all there is.
You
there.
Have a sinister sort of facial hair expression.
But I have a friendly fix it up fine.
You do?
I do have a friendly fix it up fine because in some ways it boils down to comfort, in other ways it boils down to my friend Cash.
Just like the mustache.
Mustache, must cash.
Yeah.
There you go. And it is, well, you're going to like this because you are a stats hound. You love statistics.
I do.
Almost unnerving and uncanny.
You know, I do. And I bring to mind, you know, that show, The West Wing, that we love and that we watch in reruns on Netflix still. But, you know, like Sam Seaborn, when he's talking about all those stats, I think that's kind of hot. And I don't really like him in real life. I just like his character because he's so awkwardly, like, smart with all of his knowledge and statistics.
Somebody said about him, don't befriend the geniuses because they don't sleep much.
No, they don't.
But here's a number for you. 71.2%. What is it?
71.2%.
71.2% is not only my...
Wait. I know. The percentage of time during the day that you're listening to me. Or is it the opposite when you're not listening to me?
That would be an ambitious. I try, but it's like trying to swim in every drop of water. You just can't do it. No, 71.2%, according to Remodeling Magazine's 2012-2013 Cost versus Value Report, which is a hugely important report in our industry.
Yeah, the cost versus value, it tells you, you know, if you're going to do a remodeling project, like if you're going to build a deck or something or remodel your bathroom, it tells you how much money you'll be able to...
You can expect to recoup.
Recoup if you sell your house. And it does it by region, too. So it's not a national... It is national, but also it tells you you're part of the country. So it's a really cool report. If you are remodeling your house or thinking about a project and you know that you want to sell soon, about what kinds of things that you want to do to, you know, get that money back in your pocket.
Right. And it's not a full-on overlay of how to remodel your house, but one of the things that you can really max out your investment in or get a return on investment for is vinyl windows. Of all the projects you can do, decks, kitchens, bathrooms, whatever it is, when you do a window replacement project in your house, you can expect to recoup up to 71% of your investment.
71.2?
Well, 71.2, exactly, mm-hmm. Mrs. Exactness.
That's fantastic.
So on a $10,000 window job, you also have to include the increased value of your home, hopefully, because that is now happening. You can get 70% of that back right away upon selling your house. And the way I also measure that is something that no one else really measures. When you have a house that has new windows in it and it looks good, here, the things that you can't measure, or you can measure but you can't really ascribe a hard number to, a fast sale. Every mortgage payment you don't pay is money in your pocket. And that's how you get maximum return on investment for doing smart projects to remodel. So we are going to remodel ourselves into a break. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True doors and Fypon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And are up to 4 times more energy efficient than wood doors.
Plus, until the end of 2013, you can get a new federal tax credit of up to $500 when installing an Energy Star qualified door.
So check out Therma-True.com to find those rich details that will make your home's entrance a showpiece.
Got paint prep? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
Got a home improvement headache?
Here's a quick tip from My Fix It Up Life on working with your spouse.
You can keep your relationship strong while you fix up your home.
Create a sensible budget together.
Be mindful of each other's time.
Get ready for dust and mess.
Compliment your spouse about their strengths before offering advice.
Plan, plan, plan.
And don't forget to smile.
For more quick tips, tune into the My Fix It Up Life show Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1520 a.m. with CHE.
Spend a long time going nowhere. Yeah, I know.
Are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa, who's looking newly spectacular in a old way.
You know, I kind of like that a little bit, but I don't like the word old ever used to describe me.
I know, and I couldn't get to the right word
about
fast
retro.
Enough. No, it's not that at all. What I mean it to mean is that you look great. You always have, like, you're wearing, is it a scarf? Is it a neckerchief? Is it an ascot? And do you have a leather wingback chair?
It isn't an ascot.
Well, it's none of those things.
It's just a scarf.
What I mean is that you always look good.
Aww.
Historically, you look good.
Aww.
And you're older than 5 years old.
That's true. I am older than five.
So that's where old came from in the new old.
Yeah, I went to college just a couple of years ago. I really did.
That's where we met.
4 or 10 years ago.
Are you wearing... I have one of those sweaters with the letter on it.
I think I'm going to excuse you from this conversation because we've got a guest on the line who is actually a girl that I want to talk to and not like this random male conversation that's happening here. While I appreciate the compliment, I would rather talk to Kelly Moore.
Kelly, do you have one of those sweaters that goes down and like past your hips and it's got a big giant letter on it? Please say yes.
What are you talking
about? You know,
about?
I would have to say no.
That was actually a trick question, and you've gotten the answer right.
You know, my husband is not the most stylish or fashion forward, backward, upside down kind of fella. He tries really
but
hard.
But he's handy.
He is very handy. He is very handy. If he could build himself clothes out of, like, 2x4s, he would totally be carpenter chic.
Be hot.
Totally hot, yeah. And you can stain it different colors. You know, you should totally do that, like the Tin Man, but with
wood. I'll be right back with 2x6 chainmail on.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, Kelly Moore, because we've been following you on Twitter. We haven't talked to you in, gosh, a couple of years, and you were you know, on the West Coast in Seattle. Then you were in New York. Now you're in San Francisco, and you're popping up on the Steve Harvey Show, and you're all over the place. And I saw on Twitter that you're looking at property in, like, Sonoma. So I want to know, how do you live this fabulous life, and what is the Sonoma house all about?
Well, you know, it's the internet is such a fabulous thing that it makes you look so fabulous. Well, I was in New York for a little while doing the Nate Berkus Show, and then ended up in San Francisco. And, you know, being here has been really interesting because I have always kind of focused my work on entertaining and design. And what better place, I figure, to kind of extend my brand other than Sonoma and wine country, where there's a bunch of foodies and winos that, you know, are passionate about what they create. And so it really gives me an opportunity to build something that I love as a backdrop for everything that I'm doing.
What a delicious place to be, because New York is such a great place for food, but food happens fast in New York. And then you go out to the San Francisco area, and people really enjoy and relax and celebrate food and drinking and that whole thing. And it's sort of a very, it totally fits in with your whole design, entertaining sort of mojo that you have. It makes a perfect fit, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. When I looked at kind of my next chapter after kind of traveling all over the place and writing a book and, you know, having my own show in Seattle and just kind of trying to figure out what is next, I happened to just organically end up in San Francisco and been spending a lot of time in Sonoma, and I was like, what am I doing? This is such a great place. They really, people who live there really, I think, appreciate the pace and kind of really getting into the artisan food movement. And I think for me, it's like being in Italy, right? I remember being in Italy and you'd have like a 3-hour lunch and a couple bottles of wine, and there was nothing wrong with that.
There's something wrong with that?
To me, that would be bedtime.
That would be bedtime.
3-hour lunch, wine, pillows, next day.
Well, no wonder they take naps there. I mean, that just makes sense.
I know.
You want to enjoy it.
I was like, bring that to the West Coast. I mean, it's already kind of built in. So now all I need is really the perfect spot. And so I'm in the midst of kind of searching for either something that I can make my own or a piece of property that would be something I could build from the ground up, which is really my dream.
Well, I think that is a wonderful dream. And now you're looking at something in, like, Sonoma or Napa, too.
Right. So most likely Sonoma County. I mean, I think there are a couple of areas that are kind of up and coming. Kenwood is one. Glen Ellen is another. So I think that there's a lot more kind of property available there. You know, and my dream is obviously to have, like, a main house with a pool and a guest house that I can have as a studio. And then I can have y'all out, and you can do the show from Sonoma.
I am so coming there. I will bring some cheese and some, well, we'll have to go and pick up some wine, cases of wine.
And can you tell us what and how the show is going to come together and kinds of things we can find out and what we should be looking for?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think ultimately the house is really going to be a backdrop for a web show that's going to be all about, you know, bringing people into your home, entertaining, connecting, building relationships, kind of everything I've always talked about. I mean, I've been doing, I guess, this for about 13 years. And so for me, it's all about creating a community. And you really do that through entertaining. So I think there'll be not only kind of design tips on, you know, how do you create great tables and all of that, but I also will be featuring artists and food makers and you know, there are people who are like literally making olive oil and lavender and all these great things that are right accessible here in, you know, Northern California, and yet their stories necessarily you aren't hearing about them or seeing them. So I think it'd be really interesting to incorporate that into just kind of a lifestyle web series. So, I mean, it's certainly some time away because I have to build first, and that process is going to be also documented through a web series, which will be really interesting because I've never built. and from what I hear, it takes double the time and double the money. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I know some contractors that can give you a hand.
Yeah, Yeah, well, maybe we'll need to talk.
Maybe we will. Maybe we can share some names. But I do have a question about, as the weather's getting warmer, at least where we live, and we're now starting to go outside and artisanal foods, like how... Pretend I don't know anything about artisanal foods, for example.
Let's pretend
that I don't know. but I know my guests are into it. How do I even begin to find out what a really cool table would have on it for an outdoor event?
Well, I mean, are you talking about the tabletop design, or are you talking about really the artisan experience of the food maker and all of that?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised when you talk to artisan food makers, many of them, because they're still trying to kind of get their name out there, and they're, you know, I mean, they're really a lot of up-and-comers, would be really honored to come and be a part of your party. So, you know, they can come and bring, you know, their actual product, talk about it. I mean, I've had cheesemakers come out and do literally a tasting where I set up a picnic table. We covered the top with, you know, the slate tiles you get at Home Depot?
Yeah.
So we covered the top with slate tiles from Home Depot. You put the cheese right on there. You're right on the slate with some nuts and some dry fruits and wines. And then you have the artisan cheesemaker come out and talk about the different cheeses. And it really is a great experience because I can put a table together, but when it comes to knowing the specifics of actual really great cheese or some, you know, homemade products, because I don't cook, it's really nice to have them come out and be a part of that to educate everybody, because people leave with a deeper appreciation and I think more of that community experience.
I kind of feel like you're romancing me right now, and I want Mark to call you when it's Mother's Day and my birthday and Valentine's Day to give him these little tips, because he would love to do that, but it's not something that's sort of in his, I don't know.
The business people that we email a lot, it's going to say wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make a great wheelhouse. There's nothing in it but a wheel.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what? You call me anytime, and I'll make sure that you get, you know, that you get the 411 on how to romance and be the perfect entertainer.
That would be such a good book. You should write that.
I know. That should be my third book.
That should be. It definitely should be. And you wrote a book about office spaces and, like, cube chic. Now, what is that all about?
Yeah, I did. It was really hysterical, actually, and it was great because it was a catalyst for me to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show, which was so much fun. It's just basically about taking 22 10x10 office cubicle spaces and making them over into these kind of tongue-in-cheek spaces. So, for instance, there's a golf cube, and the entire thing is made out of AstroTurf, and it has a sand pit to put your office supplies. So, like, you know, nobody's going to really do that, but it just shows people how, if you just think out of the box, what you can do with even a 10x10 space.
Yeah,
that
you
is
can,
so fun.
You can make something that's not yours or that's only yours 8 hours a day yours.
Right. In a fantasy.
Well, and the whole thing is, you know, there are 40 million plus people in cubicles, right? So if you think about that, that's a lot of 10x10 spaces that need help.
No, it is so true.
Now, I want to know, what is your favorite springtime decor thing that happens? Like, if somebody were to surprise you with an outdoor party or something, an event, and what would be, like, something that you would be just like, this would just make me sparkle all over?
Well, you know what's funny is that I like entertaining to transport people places. So, for me, I think that right now, if you're asking me personally,
yes,
not like what I would design for a client, but if somebody wanted to really kind of wow me, I would want them to transport me to the south of France at, you know, an outdoor cafe where, like, I could sip on a, you know, good bottle of rosé and, you know, have a lot of, once again, everything that I do revolves around cheese and wine, which says a lot about me. but I think that, you know, transporting people is the most important thing. I mean, I could give you tons of tips around that, you know, little tiny details that make it special, but I think creating the overall environment and experience is what you want people to walk away with.
I think that is such great advice, and I think everybody should go check out your website, KellyLMoore.net, and we follow you on Twitter, KellyLMoore, and I think we need to follow into a break.
So that's where we're transporting ourselves now. Yep. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Life. Time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar is a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar is a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org. Hey, Teresa, have you noticed our energy bills have been lower the past several years?
Absolutely. Ever since we replaced our drafty old windows with energy-efficient Simons and vinyl windows, our bills have definitely gone down. And I've noticed it's more comfortable in our home, too.
You know, selecting the right windows for your home does matter. If you're considering a window replacement project, check out Simons and Windows. These award-winning premium vinyl windows are custom-made for your home.
To learn more, visit Simonton.com today.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
My Fix It Up Life with my husband Mark
and my wife Teresa, and today we are talking color.
We're going to talk about color in this segment of the show, because we're talking new houses, we're talking old houses, and the easiest way to personalize and freshen up your house is with color.
Teresa's going to talk about how to pick the color. I'm going to talk about how to get it stuck there.
Get it stuck there?
Yeah. And step
what,
one,
are you using tape?
Get a huge bucket of paint, throw it at the side of your house. Boom. Stuck there. Teresa, how do you choose that color?
Well, you go out to the street and there'll be a guy there parked with an entire van full of paint cans, and you just blindfold yourself and you reach into the back of this man's van that you've never met before.
Hi, my name's Lojo, and I got a few buckets of paint for you if you want to buy them out of my van for a, let's say, low cost.
Now, that's one way of actually adding color to your house in a surprising way.
Or,
but that's probably not the way that most people go about it, and that's not really the way I do it.
That's actually the way I do it. So the second segment of this show will be funny.
I think that would actually be a fun way of doing it and being surprised. You know, there's so many home makeover shows on television, but...
And none of them take place out of a van.
But yeah, you don't ever just reach into like a dark space and pick out your molding or your door or like your carpet or, you know, what the wall art's going to be or anything. And like sort of like you're going through a haunted house.
This sounds like a little Fear Factory.
Like you go through a haunted house and you reach behind and you like feel whatever it is, and you supposed to be like brains or something.
Brains.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's very Fear Factor.
I think there should be Fear Factor.
Fear Factor Home Improvement.
Home Improvement Extreme. Yeah. We have to offline about that later, darling. No, but we want to talk about color because it is the easiest way to personalize and freshen up your house. And it's springtime. What better time of year to bring color than now?
It's a great time of year, from weather to inspiration to everything.
And one of the things that we hear about a lot in home improvement is that all the neutral colors, the beiges and whites, are really popular when it comes to picking home products, from tile to paint colors to pretty much everything, carpeting, furniture. And neutral colors are totally in right now. Did you know that, Mark?
I didn't know that.
Never knew they went out.
Neutral colors are so hot right now. You'll be seeing it on the pages of all the fashion magazines, and you'll be seeing it everywhere. But neutral is in for spring.
Well, I'll tell you, I only feel medium about that.
You only feel medium?
Yeah, I only feel light brown. Not dark brown and not khaki, just medium.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you have a hue for how you feel about that. So, but, you know, you open up the pages of all of the home decorating magazines and all the women's magazines, and you see those beautiful doors, like the green door, the orange door, the red door on the front of a house, and they've got the beautiful wreath, and it's so inspiring, but it can be a little bit scary for a lot of people because then you look at your house and you're like, really? Can I live with an orange door?
Yeah, because you're all in at that point.
Yeah, if it's orange, it's orange.
Yeah, it's orange.
And then all your friends see that it's orange. And then to be able to then change the color to a different color takes all the time. You have to buy the paint. You have to take the time out. You know? So if you're going to go all orange, if you're going to go all green.
How do you get there?
One of the things that I like to say is you got to test it out. Do a little experiment on yourself, on your family, on your friends with color. And the way to go about doing this, and it's a friendly experiment, is you want to get either like a plant, a wreath, some piece of artwork or something by your front door that you want to hang, paint your mailbox or something subtle that's near your door, and then experience it. Let it there for a while. Walk by it, open and shut your door when you're going, you know, to bring in.
Sure, make it part of
your
day-to-day.
Groceries or whatever it is, and just see it. And see it over and over and over again. Have your friends, they come over and they comment on it and get their reaction. Look at it from across the street. When you're driving your car, look at whatever that object is and that beautiful color that you love. Get your reaction to it. And if you catch yourself smiling or feeling good when you see it, then that's probably a color that you might be happy with if you painted something like a fixed feature like your front door or even the front of your house that color. But if you're kind of like not feeling that joy from it, then it's probably not the right color for you or for your family. And it's the same thing that people do. You've done it a million times, I'm sure, is when you try out a color inside your house and buy a pillow in that color, that beautiful red or blue or whatever, and you put it on your couch and you kind of just let it be there before you go and buy a couch in that color or reupholster your couch in that color or paint a wall in that room that color. It's the same exact thing. It's just doing it on the outside of your house.
Those are great tips. And the things that I've done in the past too that have served me well, I call this legacy technology.
What's that?
When choosing, like trying to pick a color, I'll drive around in neighborhoods that I like, and I'll see what colors they've chosen. And I'll look at different times of the day because the sun at, you know, different parts of the sky can actually change the way that color really shows up.
It does. You know, shade, you know, if you have a front porch or something, completely change the way that color looks on your house or, you know, when you're driving by using legacy technology like you do.
Well, legacy technology as opposed to, say, Pinterest, like our Pinterest page.
I love Pinterest, by the way.
I know you do, and that's why I brought it up, because you can look on your computer screen, but that color of that door, the windows, the shutters, whatever it is, never changes on your computer screen. On your front of your house, it changes every hour or a couple of hours.
Well, and you bring up a really good point about your legacy technology and driving around and saying, I like that. That's what I want. And what I find about men and women when you're picking color is that women, we tend to obsess about it. We tend to spend time buying that pillow and putting it on the couch, seeing the reaction of our friends, seeing what our husband says about that color, and really kind of obsessing about it and looking at every kind of option in a, you know, that sort of hue. Mm-hmm. And men, the only time that you guys seem to pick color is when you have to buy something. And then there's a color selection that's attached to buying that object.
We are a very task-driven species. And
I have to buy a new car. Those are the four colors it comes in. I pick that color.
I pick that one because I want to accomplish the purchase.
But women, we
spend
time.
And there is, by the way, in our increasingly overpoweringly women-driven world, we're not wrong. Just because that's our process
And I'm saying this, guys, to defend all of us. We're not wrong. We weren't wrong before. We're not wrong now.
It's just different.
It's just different. But women, well, why don't you take it from here, my dear?
Well, the thing is, too, is that we spend time growing up saying, I want to have a red car. I want to have a black car. I want to have... And you guys spend time thinking about what kind of car, and then you have to pick which color it is because those are the colors it comes
right.
in. And we'll change which car we want based on the color. That's not funny.
I can't change four-wheel drive, long bed, king cab. I can't, or crew cab, rather. I can't change all that stuff. The color can change, though, because I want it a certain way, and I want certain things.
Well, I think new house, old house, men, women, I think color is a great way to bring us all together.
Oh, that's so ecumenical of you.
Oh.
I'm going to bring us all apart. We're going into a break.
Ah.
Stay with us. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Live.
Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Tile it yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
And you're back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're talking new and old. And we're here with the new old This Old House, Ask This Old House host, Kevin O'Connor.
I like new old, but I don't know if that's really a compliment or a really good description.
You know, Kevin O'Connor is in good shape.
Yeah.
Takes care of himself.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Which puts him in, you don't have to go the new old. How old are you, Kevin? You don't have to go into that.
Yeah. You don't have to answer how old you are.
Good to be here, guys, as always, talking to you.
Well, thank you for joining us, because I am excited because the XX Project is wrapping this week on a lot of stations around the country. And for everybody who hasn't been tuning in every week, you can check them out on thisoldhouse.com, all the episodes. But, you know, you tackle the concept, universal design, which I don't know if you guys have done before on This Old House.
Well, we've touched on the concept, but we've never actually made it the sort of driving focus of an entire project, and that's what we did with Essex. And the story here is that the homeowners who we're working for, they are renovating this house for her parents. Her parents come and visit them a lot. They spend time in their house with the grandchildren, but they want to eventually move closer. They're getting on in years. They've got some mobility issues. And as they renovate this house, they're thinking, well, how can mom and dad live in this house comfortably, safely, and actually stay here so that they can age in place? And that's something that a lot of Americans are thinking about these days. So we hit it right on. We spent the entire project talking about those issues.
And backing up a little, because we listened to everything you just said, but are those the general components of universal design when someone throws that term out?
Well, you know, it's a funny word. We've heard lots of different names for this in the course of the project. Some people think it's handicap accessibility. Some people call it just smart design. And we didn't really get hung up on the definition. What we were focused on was, if you're going to go through a renovation or even a new build, what are the things that you can do that make it easier and more comfortable to live in a house? And what we found was, it doesn't matter if you're older or if you're young getting older, it doesn't really matter what stage of life you're in. All of the things that we employed in this renovation really make sense for anybody. So just, you know, for example, it's one of the simplest things. It's not a huge thing, but levers on doors. You know, rather than the round knob that you got to wrap your knuckles and fingers around, why not have a lever handle that you can push down with an elbow or a hand? It works for someone who's older with arthritis, but it also works for a young mother who's got a bag or a handful of groceries and wants to operate that door with their elbow. Tiny example, but it's smart thinking, smart design that can work for anybody. So why not employ it?
Totally get where you're going with that. And so another layer to that question is universal design something that can be remodeled into a home like you did with this old house, and I guess I'll use the word affordably, or is it better to be employed in, say, a new construction model?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do new construction, you should absolutely incorporate it. Why wouldn't you? You know, why wouldn't you make the doorways just a little bit wider so that if you ever had someone in the family who was in a wheelchair that they could get through comfortably? Why wouldn't you build a brand new bathroom without a curb to the shower? So, yes, in new construction, it makes perfect sense. But in renovation, I think it makes sense for some things. I mean, we saw a guy who built a new house and he incorporated an elevator shaft in the house. Now, he had it in the pantry at this current state, but it was built so that it could accommodate an elevator in the future. That's probably a very expensive and maybe unnecessary retrofit. But there are lots of things when you're renovating the house that you can incorporate. If you're going to do a new bathroom, well, why wouldn't you think about putting a vanity in that you might be able to wheel up to, or a comfort height toilet, or a shower big enough to accommodate that wheelchair, or even to have a seat and a good grab bar in the shower. Why would you do a bathroom renovation and not include those things? They're small little additions, but they can make a world of difference if you've got any mobility issues in the future. So, you know, we showed things that apply to new construction, but mostly things that apply to renovation.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind with curbless showers is I could skateboard in there.
Really?
You just wheel right in.
Yeah.
You skate in, and then you do like the round thing. You skate right up, turn the water on. Before it's hot, you're out of the way, and you skate back in again. It's very exciting showers. You need pads and a helmet.
I'm kind of thinking of you like on roller skates or rollerblading.
Roller skates.
Like you're rollerblading around in circles.
Yeah.
And you've got multiple shower heads going, and you're just going crazy.
Sure, roller skates. Hashtag Al's Diner.
Mel's Diner.
I have images of Mark rollerblading in and out of the shower, but that's not really an image that's coming to my mind, at least not comfortably. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's try to avoid that whole image for you. But it seems
Thank
to me
you.
Seems to me that it just makes sense if you're building new or if you are renovating to incorporate products that make sense for getting older, because we all get older, no matter how much Botox or anything else that you can use or how technology is changing so that we can like morph into some sort of like, you know, half robot, half human kind of thing in 20 or 30 years.
I'm actually up to my neck right now in olive oil, just so everyone knows. I want to keep my skin. You know what I mean?
You know how much we want to preserve ourselves or do like the cryogenics or whatever it is. But, you know, it seems like it should be standard in new house construction is to do all of these things that make it so that you can live in your house for your whole entire life and not have to move or have to renovate because of, you know, different kinds of aging issues or if someone gets ill or even for kids, too. It just makes sense. So
Another term that we heard for this is human-centered design, and I think that, you know, probably hits sort of to the core of the whole idea, you know, as opposed to anything associated with age or mobility, just human-centered design, things that just make good sense for the way we live our lives.
Now, are you getting letters from PETA because of that?
Fortunately, I don't have to read the letters.
Okay. I just, you know, I imagine that you might get more of like a video message, you know, all those cat videos on YouTube. They might be meow, meow.
Has anybody ever asked you over there, you or Tom or Norm, can you make me one of those cat towers that's wrapped in carpet samples?
I don't think we've gotten that request yet, to tell you the truth. We've gotten We've done a dog house. We've done some other pet-related things, but I'm not familiar with the cat tower request. That might be a first.
Yeah, Norm would dovetail it, and then Tom would say, well, we have to cover this in carpet, and where are the tunnels, and can we use PVC for this? Yeah.
I have no doubt that Tommy would tell us that he made one of these things when he was a kid, when he was 3 years old working for his dad. When he finished digging the trenches, his dad made him make a cat tower out of carpet, and no doubt he'd be telling the truth. This guy's done it all. He's absolutely done it all.
Well, and I have to get back to the Essex house, too, because I saw a picture that you tweeted out, and it's Kevin O'Connor, T-O-H, on Twitter, of the front entry of the house where there's shiplap walls and reclaimed marble tiles. Now, where are those marble tiles reclaimed from?
Those were taken, we're pretty sure that their original home was a brownstone in Boston. They came out of the brownstone. That was probably well over 100 years ago. They came out of the brownstone, and when we got our hands on them, they were already at a salvage facility. And so we went and grabbed them. We got enough for that entryway. We spent quite a bit of time cleaning them up. As you can imagine, they had sort of the old mud job mortar on the back and sides and stuff. But we cleaned them up and we put them back down into the house. It looked good. We liked the sort of reclaim story. But I think more importantly, you couldn't really buy tiles that looked like that on the marketplace right now. They had that worn look. They had been around in someone else's. They had been underfoot for 100 years. And so that's why we used them. And the key thing, if you look at the photo, the key thing is there was no threshold at the door. And there's no threshold between the transition of front door, marble foyer, and wood floor going throughout the house. And
that's sort of one of the key ideas. You do have to look closely to see that, but yeah, that is true. So,
yeah, I mean,
so that begs the question from inside to outside, human-centered design or universal design, whatever we're calling it, there can't be like stairs out there. There's got to be a ramp out to the driveway or something of that nature. Is that right in this house?
Yeah, you're not going to see any ramps. I mean, you could drive up this driveway, step out of your car, and without ever taking a step up, you could move from the driveway to the granite walk that leads to the bluestone patio, that leads to the stone porch, into the marble foyer, across the floor, wood floor, out through the back four-season porch on the slate tiles, step out onto the second bluestone patio, and then to another granite walkway to the opposite side of the driveway. And those roller skates that you very unpleasantly were painting a picture of using in the shower, you could roller skate that entire distance from outside all the way through the house and back out again without ever going over a bump. So we did quite a bit of grading. We made a lot of smart choices in terms of material, but we also made sure that we kept them at a very even plane.
So you're saying that this human-centered design will allow my husband to take a shower, roll into the kitchen, get a cup of coffee, and roll out to the front drive to get his morning newspaper all in one fell swoop?
God willing, he won't. He may mistake at the very least.
So a good measure of having done a good job on this is that if you can play roller hockey in there, you're in good shape.
In this case, we pulled it off. I don't mean to suggest that if you have steps, you have not accomplished your goal properly. And in fact, the house that we worked on in Essex has a second floor. So there's two bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs. You know, we didn't eliminate stairs completely, but we did give our new homeowners the ability to live entirely on one floor, and we minimized any obstructions to being able to kind of walk comfortably or even wheel if they have to through that, the critical functional spaces of the house.
Well, let's get to a little bit more G-rated outside activity. And I want to know how you're getting ready for spring, and are you still working on your treehouse for your kids?
Oh, you know about the treehouse,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Preparation for spring is about to start. We still got snow on the ground up here in the wild northeast of New England. So as soon as all that snow's gone, the kids are going to earn their allowance and go up and go outside and pick up all the fallen branches. And then pretty soon after that, we're raking all the pea stone back onto the driveway. Thank you, plow guy. And then it's going to be paying attention to the lawn. I obsess on my lawn. My wife will take care of the shrubs and the flowers. but I have Sesson along, and so I got to do a double whammy of crabgrass preventer this year because I had a terrible case of it last year. But I got to make sure that it's nice and green for the soccer field and the baseball field.
Okay, so my husband likes to, quote, walk the property of our lawn, and he obsesses about it as well. Like, I got him a lawn striper for his mower 1 year, and he uses Milorganite for part of, like, his whole process, which I think is hilarious because do you know what Milorganite is made from?
I believe it's something that comes out of the backside of an animal.
Well, it comes out from, like, human poop from Milwaukee.
Wonderful.
It's good stuff, though.
It is good stuff.
It's really good stuff.
So and there should be
Milorganite. Do you know Mr. Milorganite and his family? Do you know the Milorganite crew? That's actually,
it's organic and processed and all those things, but I use it mostly in the August feeding to try to take some of the petrochemicals out and add human petrochemicals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's good stuff, and I'm with you, too. So are you a lawn striper? Does your lawnmower leave stripes in your grass?
No, I haven't taken it to that level yet, but I am pleased to hear that you obsess on lawns, Mark. And I might be wrong, but I think it's kind of a guy thing. I don't know what it is, but I think it's a guy thing. The lawn is sort of our domain generally, and why are we obsessed on it? I don't know, but man, a good-looking lawn? Like, I can't wait to put a sprinkler system in an underground, like, rainwater collection tank so I can just keep this thing golf course ready. I love it. And I love the fact that if I pull it off right, everybody in the family in the neighborhood is rolling around in the backyard during the middle of summer having a blast, whether it's the whipple ball game with the slip and slide or just, you know, shoes off. You know, it's our own little piece of heaven.
Well, I think you guys obsess about your lawns because it goes back to your hunter days of, like, looking out and trying to, like, the buffalo or whatever it is, and you've got your spear and you're just, you know, out in the prairie or wherever you are, and very, you know, very masculine. It's very hot, actually.
Yeah, Kevin, remember that time when we were hunting buffalo together with spears?
I do. I think I bagged one more than you, Mark.
Well, I mean, yeah. And in true Kevin O'Connor form, he has to win the break, and we have to take a break. So we'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life. Check out Kevin O'Connor, Kevin-O'Connor on Facebook, Kevin O'Connor, TOH on Twitter, and check out episodes at thisoldhouse.com. We'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life.
Watch the walls break, be what you intake, be the love, love, love. You might be open-minded, you might be out of reach, but
shut up! Got paint prep? Do it the hard way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
You're back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we're at the end of the show. So if you have questions about today's show or a project at your home, send us a note at info@myfixituplife.com. We want to hear your questions, and we love to learn from you.
So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, check out our pins on Pinterest, and watch our videos at YouTube.
Listen to more My Fix It Up Life shows on free apps for iPhone and Android, or at iTunes and Blog Talk Radio.
And tune in next week for more My Fix It Up Life.
Initial top into a tree, and I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked into my life, into my fix it up life. My fix it up life might be just walking up to me. You might be sunrise in a sky blue sea. You might be the holder of my front door key at night. I'd like to